The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Tired of the negative news and flash over substance? It's time for Today with Dr. Wendy. Dr. Wendy Patrick is a trial attorney, patriot, and PhD with a passion for people and a penchant for politics. Dr. Wendy brings you the headlines, streamlined news you can use. It's time to be informed, engaged, and entertained. Now, here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Today with Dr. Wendy. We are delighted to have a fabulous guest with us today for our first half. Larry, who do we have with us on the line?
John Schneider is an actor, filmmaker, and musician. John's extensive acting career includes the iconic roles of Bo Duke on The Dukes of Hazzard, Jonathan Kent on Smallville, and Jim Cryer on Tyler Perry's The Haves and the Have-Nots, along with recurring appearances on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Nip Tuck, The Secret Life of the American Teenager, and Dancing with the Stars. As an independent filmmaker, John continues to write, direct, and star in his own movies, including Christmas Cars, Stand on It, Poker Run, and To Die For. He also co-starred with Reba McEntire in Lifetime's 2021 holiday hit, Christmas in Tune. In addition to his incredible acting career, John has over 20 albums to his credit, right up to his latest, Southern Ways, and 5 number one singles on the Billboard country chart. It's also worth noting that John co-founded, along with Marie Osmond, the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which has raised more than $8.5 billion for 170 children's hospitals throughout the United States. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you so much.
John, with such an extensive career on TV and in the movies, we're wondering, when did you first decide you wanted to become an actor?
I believe in grabbing your dream with both hands, and we live in the in a country where we're able to still do that. And I think that's why I've still been around. I've been around for all this time. In fact, my first number one song was called I've Been Around Enough to Know. And I was only 24, and I thought I had. Well, now I'm 63, and I think I really have. But, you know, I couldn't have done this in any other country. There's not a chance in the world.
Well, you know, with your acting, filmmaking, and songwriting, they always seem to reflect positive values and are spiritually uplifting. Are you concerned, as we are, about the direction our country seems to be headed? And do you see hope for the future of America?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very concerned about the way our country is going. I think a lot of people have grown complacent. They think that our current problems are somebody else's problems and someone else is going to take care of them. But I do think in the last, I'm hopeful because I do think in the last maybe year and a half, we have realized that the folks who are running our country, it certainly seems to me like they can't stand our country. They're doing everything they can to destroy it from the inside out. And if you'd said that to me when I was 8 years old or 10 or you had said that to my father and my grandfather, they'd say there will never be a time in the United States of America where we are actually concerned about enemies domestic. But we are. That's why I wrote this song. I was just in Nashville 2 days ago, wrote another song called Made in America, and another song to thank our Gold Star families called I Want to Thank You for Your Sacrifice.
Wow.
I think people have woken up and they realize that come November, this is our collective problem and our collective responsibility to fix it.
You know, John, one of your, if not your biggest contribution to your career is your Christianity and your strong faith in Jesus Christ. That runs through everything that you've done, everywhere you go, every contact that you make. What a bright, shining light you've been in both the acting business and also in the music business. We are absolutely enamored with your work, not only with co-founding the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals with Marie Osmond, another singer, but also just all the people you've met along the way who don't yet know the Lord. I mean, I don't know whether you ever take a minute to contemplate the impact that you've really had here in our world.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for that. But I can honestly say I'm too busy trying to continue to make an impact to actually consider that.
Right.
You know, I believe in leading by example. I believe in following your dream. I believe that we are all designed very specifically by God to do a very specific thing.
Amen.
And that is our calling, because God is up to something that we are part of. Have I made mistakes? Have I gotten angry? Have I done things I wish I hadn't? Sure, everybody has. But
makes you human.
But for the most part, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you've made somebody else's day better, which is really simple, you know, wow, your hair is beautiful. I love your hair. Wow, what a great dress. Or, hey, I was somewhere yesterday and this guy had this amazing coat on. I said, man, that is a beautiful coat. Don't put it down because I think it might fit me. You know, but it's easy to make somebody's day. And then, you know, that's a way to be an example without I'm never really preachy. But I try to make it so people wonder what's going on with me? Why are you still smiling? Because I know you've had a rough year and a half. Why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? What is that about? So I think it's our responsibility. Once again, it's our responsibility to reflect the love of Christ, the love of God, the responsibility. Again, I'm very heavy on responsibility, the responsibility we have to make this world a better place and to keep it that way.
And you do that. When people meet you, they meet Jesus, as they say.
Amen. Yeah, we get
a little- I hope so.
Getting a little bit short on time on this segment of the show, John, but I'm going to talk about your new song that we're going to play in a minute here. But before that, do you have a website people could go to? I know you have a film studio, right? Would you recommend any kind of a website?
I do, yes. My website is johnschneiderstudios.com, johnschneiderstudios.com. And cool. Hey, if you are going to play the song, I think my phone is gonna kick me off here halfway through.
Larry, can we just play a little snippet? Can we just play a little snippet of the song? And I have to say, if anybody wants to know about John Schneider, I think you're easy to find online.
Right.
I'm easy to find online. Right. Yeah. Like it or not, I'm easy to find online.
So we have it all worked out technically, John, as far as your songs go. But I know you released this brand new song on Valentine's Day. It's called She's Worth It. What inspired you to write that song?
I was inspired to write that song because I got a little flack on my Facebook page when I would say, you know, obviously we live in the bright, shining city on a hill, the tangible breath of God, freedom incarnate, the greatest country in the world. And I got some young folk going, no, it's not. It's terrible. We're systemically racist and we're this and we're that. And I thought, you know, this truly, I believe, is the first generation who has been intentionally misled by an older generation.
Yes.
So I wrote this song to try to educate or re-educate young folks, to try to give a call to action so that people will know that, yes, we do live in the greatest country the world has ever known. Do we have problems? Sure, we do. But that's what makes us human, too. The difference in the United States of America is we have historically not only recognized our problems, but we have done something about them almost immediately.
Yes.
So that's what inspired me to write this song. I was very upset that there were kids saying, no, this is not the greatest country. How could you say that?
I know.
And I'm thinking, how could you say that?
I agree.
Right.
Would it be okay, John, if we just play a little bit of your song for our listeners right now?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
It'd be so easy to turn our backs and walk away. Ignore the fires burning. Live to fight another day. But I'm believing that no matter what it takes, her amber waves of grain should grow forever. It's a duty, it's a right, an obligation to stand for her and fight, for she's our nation. That's why we won't give up. Hell no, in this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free, it's up to you and me. Brother, I believe she's worth it. Turning, we can feel it in our bones, but now's not the time to hang it up and hunker down at home. Constitution, it isn't just a word, it's a glue that holds the whole damn thing together. Together, together we can make our country proud. Together we'll freedom in our speech. Get on your feet and speak it loud. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free, it's up to you and me. Brother, I believe that she's worth. Proud. Together we'll all stand out from the crowd. There's freedom in your speech. Get on your feet and sing it loud. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe. When it's time to toss the sea, she's worth it. Yeah, 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 yeah. She's worth it. Yeah. Oh. She's worth it.
We want to thank John Schneider for joining us on Today with Dr. Wendy. What an inspiration you've been to us, to our listeners, and really to everybody that's followed your amazing work over the years. And to our listeners, don't touch that dial. We will be right back after a short break for more of Today with Dr. Wendy, Headlines with a Silver Lining.
News cycle lowlights have no place here.
You're listening to the headline highlights on Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
It's time for more news you can use. The headlines streamlined. It's time for more Today with Dr. Wendy. Now here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick, and my co-host Larry Dersham and I have a phenomenal second half for you. We have a very special guest on the line that we're very lucky to have. Larry, who's joining us for the second half?
Ariel Del Turco serves as director of the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, where she's responsible for religious freedom policy and advocacy efforts. Through research and analysis, she helps craft effective policy solutions and coordinates FRC's advocacy on religious freedom. Ariel is the author of numerous reports, and she has testified before the House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee on the Constitution and Limited Government. Ariel's work has appeared in the USA Today, The Hill, Real Clear Politics, Fox News, National Review, The Federalist, Jerusalem Post, and The Washington Examiner. She's co-author of Heroic Faith, with the subtitle Hope Amid Global Persecution, along with Layla Gilbert and Lieutenant Retired William G. Boykin. She holds a master's degree in government with an emphasis in international relations from Regent University, as well as a bachelor's degree in politics and history. Welcome to the program, Ariel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ariel, I do not know where to start. That list is so impressive. No grass grows under your feet over the years. You know, there's just so much to work with. I think I'll sort of condense the theme I think runs through your passion. And one of the themes I see is the state of religious freedom. And I know you've done work in this area. I know you're very concerned about religious freedom in the U.S. today. How do you think we most, let's say frequently, are experiencing the erosion of our First Amendment religious liberty protections?
Yeah, so especially in the United States, I look at this from two levels. One is the government level. How is either the federal or state government going after the rights of people to fully live out their faith? That's the definition of religious freedom. So are Christians able to express their faith without fearing that they're going to be fired from their government jobs? Are they being treated fairly when they go into foster children, for example? So the government level is one level that I look at religious freedom conditions, but I also look at the societal level. So how are Christians being treated in the public square? And the subject of my most recent report was hostility against churches, which I found to be on the rise. So that includes vandalism, acts of arson, gun-related incidents, bomb threats, and other crimes that take place on church property. And now this isn't the government violating these churches' religious freedom, but it seems to indicate an increasing religious intolerance that is spreading across the United States. And I think that's concerning for anyone who cares about religious freedom.
Ariel, over the past 6 years, from 2018 through 2023, I understand your organization has identified over 900 acts of hostility against U.S. churches. What types of attacks are we seeing, and why do you think these attacks are on the rise?
So there are a range of the incidents that we categorize in this report, and they range anything from someone is walking down the street and they pick up a brick and they throw it through the stained glass window of a church, or in the worst case scenario, they set a church on fire and burn it to the ground completely. We also saw a few instances of gun violence or assault on church property, but mainly we're looking at vandalism and arson and these types of physical attacks against churches. And the reason it's on the rise, I think there are various things, but at a minimum, I think this represents a collapse in a respect and reverence in our society for churches, right? Even if you're walking down the street and you throw something at a church and do some damage or damage a statue outside a church, it might be easy for us as listeners to just kind of brush that off, like, oh, it's no big deal. But I don't think we would have seen this level of violence against churches several decades ago. And I think the rise in these types of attacks against churches tends to point to something problematic in our culture, where our culture just, we're increasingly secular. We just don't understand or respect religion like we used to. And that's having a physical impact on churches.
You know, not only has it had a physical impact on churches, but I like what you said about the, you know, the way that's just been become so pervasive. I mean, there's always been that theme over the years, but it just seems that lately, and I'll even say we experienced this during the pandemic when people were complaining, well, the liquor store gets to be open, but churches can't be open. And I mean, do you think there's been more attacks on religious faith over the last several years? And if so, and I'm guessing you probably would agree with that statement generally, what do you think are some of the factors fueling that? I mean, why now?
Yeah. So according to our reporting, we're looking at a very sharp increase. So for example, in 2023, we saw 436 acts of hostility against churches.
Wow.
Again, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because these are the ones that are publicly reported. I think a lot go unreported. But the number from 2023 was double what it was the year before in 2022. Which was 195, which was double what it was in 2021. So we're looking at a very steep rate of increase. But I think it points to what's happening in our society, right? We're living in a very polarized culture, politically and along all types of different lines. There's a lot of division, and there's also a lot of angst, especially since the COVID-19 pandemic, and we saw the Black Lives Matter movement. There was just this eruption of violence in the United States. And while that has subsided, thankfully, I think we are seeing the effects where people feel more comfortable than they maybe did even several years ago to lash out at churches and religious institutions and really view them as a platform to express their anger and rage, whatever that might be motivated by.
You know, it's interesting that I go to a couple churches, I visit them, and I think in every one, and they're kind of like mega churches, they're pretty big, but I see security officers, I mean, literally kind of like policemen. They're at the door, they're at the back door, and it's just kind of a symptom. It's really indicating how things have changed. So with the increasing hostility against churches and synagogues, I don't hear much about mosques in the picture so far, but you know, we hear about it in the news. Could this be a form of religious intimidation against the people that attend? Like, I don't want to go to church, you know, something bad might happen, so I'm just going to stay home?
I think it can be, and I don't think all these crimes are intended to do that, but the result can still be the same, right? If you're attending a small church in a rural community, and you see where someone in the neighborhood has spray-painted threats against your church, or I think just ugly messages being spray-painted on churches, things like God is dead, or sometimes even satanic messages, when you see that, I think the effect can be intimidation, even if that was the intent or not. And sometimes I think it clearly is the intent. But we, as Christians, as just Americans who care about everyone's religious freedom, we need to make sure that these acts don't affect us, that they don't change our behavior, that we continue to go to church and express our faith in public, and don't let this intimidate us out of just living out our faith as we see fit in our daily lives.
You know, I think that point is so important, because I know a lot of people overestimate the extent to which laws govern what you can and can't say religiously. I know that some people are afraid to wear a cross around their neck or have a Bible on their desk, when actually, as Larry and I know, having both taught this subject, religious expression laws are more lenient than some people think. I mean, look at all the other faiths that express themselves. Somehow we think, well, we're not allowed to do what is so commonly done in so many other areas. But I think the second question is, in some areas, should you? You can, but should you? And that's where it's so unfortunate that people are afraid that they're going to become vulnerable if they wear the sign of their religion on a T-shirt, on their shirt, on what's displayed in their cars. I mean, as Larry knows, I take a lot of Ubers. So I am very familiar, because I travel a lot. So do you, Ariel. You probably don't see the same thing. That as soon as you get into that Uber, there are lots of indicia of the religious background of your driver. And as we, you know, try to enhance respect for each other, what do you think is one of the best things that we can do as Americans to try to temper what we're seeing in terms of just, I won't say hostility, that's really pessimistic. And as Larry knows, he's the cloud, I'm the silver lining.
Right.
Skepticism as to the receptivity from other religions. What can we do?
Yeah, you've hit on a really good point. I think this issue particularly, it hits the point that religious freedom doesn't just require good laws. Thankfully, our country does have laws that reinforce religious freedom, and we need those. But we also need cultural support for religious freedom and able to, as you indicated, to feel comfortable living out our faith in the public square, be comfortable wearing that cross necklace wherever you go. So I think there are some simple things that we can all do to try to strengthen that cultural support for religious freedom. And I think that starts just by living out your faith in the public square, by not being afraid to share your faith, by not being afraid to pray in public over a meal or offer to pray with a friend or a coworker who is hurting for whatever reason. All of those little expressions of faith, I think, can go a long way towards building a culture that sees and is exposed to Christianity, and therefore develops a stronger tolerance and respect for everyone's religious freedom.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a great way to end the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And you want to give a shout out to your website?
Sure. You can find our work at frc.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Our listeners no doubt greatly appreciate that, as do we. And to our listeners, we have had another great show, another great guest, and we look forward to seeing you next Saturday, same time, 6 p.m. Until then, have a wonderful week and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for Live with Dr. Wendy. You can learn more about Dr. Wendy and how to become a guest or sponsor of the show by visiting WendyPatrickPhD.com. That's WendyPatrickPhD.com. Tune in every week at this same time as Dr. Wendy will engage and inspire you with an upbeat viewpoint on the highlights of the day. This has been Live with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.